Maybe we ought to throw a grenade in there first. And we didn't. We carefully walked up to it and looked around and everything, went in there. And there were three German officers and two of our guys who were prisoners. And they were eating sandwiches and drinking a beer. They were better off than we were. So we took the officers wanted to surrender.
Yeah.
So we took them, and we went back to the battalion, and then the army came through because, see, the SAR was a real route for supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Trier is a huge city.
Mm-hmm.
Trier. And that was a city that we were moving towards. And we had cut off that road so the supplies couldn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
German supplies. I was standing there, and we all look like rats. Mm-hmm. I remember standing there looking at these guys. I said, what a bunch of dirty. Nope. Nobody shaved. Of course, I didn't even shave in those days.
Yeah.
I just had a dirty face. But they were awful. And the colonel came up to me and he said, Burke, babyface, that's what he's calling me, babyface. He said, Burke, he said, you get in that Jeep, you're going home. I couldn't even answer him.
Yeah.
I felt like saying to me, not in these words, are you kidding me? I got in that Jeep and that was... the end of February, cold, snow on the ground, cold, freezing. And let's see, the end of February, and I was home first part of April.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to La Havre, to Metz, got my papers, and they put me and three other guys on a train. We went back to Paris, and they said, we had to go over to another station to go to Le Havre.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to go out in Paris and have a good time. I said, no way, pal. Not me. I'm not going to mess up now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I got to the other train station, but I got there and went to Le Havre, and they fed us and gave us clean uniforms and showers and stayed there for a week, and then they put us on a ship. I think it was a semi-hospital ship. I don't know. And came home, and I can remember those Red Cross women when we got off the boat with coffee and donuts in New York, and they put us on the bus and took us across a ferry over to Camp Kilmer. And we got to Camp Kilmer, and everybody wanted to go to the mess hall because they wanted to drink milk. I hate milk. I said, you guys are crazy. Milk. Anyway, they all went down there, and I think I got a hamburger or something. Anyway, stayed there 2 days, and then I went home, and I stayed home for about 35 days, and the war was still on,
mm-hmm.
and then the war ended. Well, I was home, and I think that ended in May, and I was then an infantry instructor for trainees,
mm-hmm.
down at Camp can't think of the name of it now. It was outside of Macon, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Wheeler. And I was an infantry instructor. And then I got discharged. And then, the guy said to me, when I was getting discharged, he said, you know, you're a first three grader. I was a staff sergeant then.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you had a year of college. And I said, yeah. He said, we can make you a lieutenant.
Wow.
I said, yeah? I said, how's that? He said, we're going to send you to OCS. I said, you're going to send me home. So I went home, went back, and I went to Georgetown and graduated.
Yeah.
48.
Wow.
And then I went to work and made a living and retired in 1987. Living a good life. Got a lot of good friends. Got a great family. Our children are great. Our grandchildren are great. And now we're blessed with great-grandchildren.
Really?
Yep. In Fairfield, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
Near you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our grandson and his wife, Lisa,
mm-hmm.
live in Fairfield. And our son, Kevin, who's our baby, is their father.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Fairfield, and he works in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Our children have done, we're very proud of our kids. Done well. That's because their mother raised them.
So, just going back a little bit, first of all, why were you chosen to go back home early? Do you know the reasoning for that?
Why what?
Why were you chosen to go back home early in February?
Why did I go home?
Yeah, why did they let you?
The reason I was sent home was two reasons. Number one reason is that a battalion has been in combat for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They are allowed to send some of the old-timers that were original from D-Day on
mm-hmm.
home for a rest and recuperation. That was one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second reason was that my brother had been killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the colonel didn't want me to get killed.
Right.
Yeah. That's the reason.
Also, you said you worked with prisoners of war, right? You worked with prisoners of war?
Yeah.
Now, when they were in prison, were they relieved or to not be killed? Or how did they react?
What happened to them?
Yeah, how did they react?
How did they react?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they acted, some of them were fearful,
mm-hmm.
frightened, and then some of them were happy and smiling and laughing,
mm-hmm.
asking for cigarettes and candy, and
mm-hmm.
Where are you from and all that.
Yeah.
If they could speak English.
Right.
And they wanted to know where they were going to go. They wanted to go to the United States. They didn't want to go to England.
Really?
And I would say for that was some of them. The rest of them were reserved.
Mm-hmm.
Very reserved. A little, you could see some fear.
Yeah.
But they knew the war was over for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few diehards there, but they were the exception. Most of them were very cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give you any trouble. It was over.
Yeah.
Their war was over. They were going to live it out. You know?
Right.
So I would say they were contented.
Yeah. And so then when you were able to go home, what was it like that day, when you first arrived home from the war?
Great. You don't know what it is I can't tell you. We slept on dirt. Whole time we were overseas, dirt.
I mean,
and you gotta go home and you're sleeping with clean sheets. You don't have to worry about bugs. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about getting shot or somebody shooting at you, and you're not scared, and you just take a deep breath in here. Just so free.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Free. No one's going to get you.
Yeah. Was your family expecting to see you? And
my mother knew I was on the way. No. I can't remember that. I cannot remember that. I remember, and this is sounds weird. I remember calling her from Union Station, mm-hmm. Washington, and I said, "Mom, I'm home." And she yelped on the phone or something. And I went out and got in a cab. And the cab driver, he sees all these stuff you have on, you know.
Right.
He said, "Where were you?" And I said, "Over in Europe." And he said, "Where? Did you see any action?" And I said, "Yeah." I told him. He said, "Oh God!" He said, "Boy, that's great." And he drove me to my house, and I got out, and I said, "How much I owe you?" And he said, "Nothing." I said, "Oh, come on, take something." He said, "Okay, give me a tip." So I gave him a couple of bucks. And I walked in. My mother had cooked a meal. He waited for me. Here it was about 7 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock, she got a meal for me. So I sat down. She said, "Well, we're eating." And she said to me, "What do you want for breakfast?" I said, "Let's finish dinner." So she cooked a, I said, "I'll tell you what I would like sometime. I like a veal chop. And I like some spaghetti." She fixed spaghetti for me and I ate it for breakfast. That's it. My mother was a great person and great sense of humor, but she never got over my brother's death.
Yeah.
Never. And that was the sad part, but anyway.
Yeah.
Life moves on, you know. Sad, but true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you discuss your brother's experience in the war?
Yeah. He was an officer. He was a lieutenant in the 87th Division. I think he was in the 345th Infantry K Company. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And I heard that his outfit was near us one time. When I say near, a couple of miles. Mm-hmm. And but there's a war going on.
Right.
And I said, "Oh, I wish I could get to see him." And then we moved out of that sector. And I didn't, wasn't near him. And then, just before we went on that Earth-Zerf mission where we got cut off, we were in this area forming up to cross the Saar, and the officers' quarter was in an old house. And I got the word to come up there. And, yeah, this is February, yeah, the first one. And I remember I told the runner, I said, what's the colonel want to see me for? I didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's a natural instinct.
Yeah.
So, I went up there and I walked in, and there were three other officers there. And one of them, he said, "In the service, you only have one name. That's a last name. It was Burke, Jones, and Fizz, and Smith, and whatever." And he said, "Burke, sit down." So it was an old stuffed chair there, and he was sitting over there. And he said, "I've got some bad news." Oh, I thought of my mother. Mm-hmm. And he said, your brother's been killed. And I said, oh. I cried, and he offered me, he said, would you like a drink? Well, I didn't drink hard liquor. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, sure. So he had some, it was bourbon, I remember that. They get a ration, the officers get a ration of liquor, see? Mm-hmm. So he gave me a couple, not that much. And I drank it, and he said, you want some more? I said, yeah. I took another drink. And he said, I wish I could do something for you. But he said, I'm limited. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I know that. And he said, if you think I can do anything for you, anything can make it easier for you, you tell me, and I'll try my best. And I said, I know you would, Colonel Sullivan was his name, Colonel Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, and I walked out. We went up on the line, and I've got to be very honest, we got cut off. My mind was on self-preservation and doing what we had to do. Mm-hmm. It was not mourning my brother. And I was in a bunker getting some ammo. And this guy came up to me. My best friend was a guy named Ted Walters. Mm-hmm. And he was out on an outpost. And this guy came in and said, hey, Bert, he said, Ted just got it. That's why they say a guy got killed. Mm-hmm. Just got it. And I looked at him, and he was my best friend. Mm-hmm. I looked at him, I said, that's tough. That's it. That's tough. Mm-hmm. I went back up on the line, and then, as I told you, I was sent home and whatnot. When I got home, I said, there's something wrong with me. I said, lost Tom and Ted, and I didn't mourn. And then it came to me that war just flips your brain. You become so hard, so, let's say, callous, if you will.
Right.
That, and your mind is so occupied on self-preservation for yourself and your buddies, mm-hmm. that you don't give that a thought.
Right.
And I got to the point, it really bugged me. I told my wife, Carolyn, she said, you go see a doctor and tell him. So I did. And he said, let it all out. So that's why I'm talking to you, and I talk to anybody about it. Because mm-hmm. he said, got to get it. You didn't let it out. So that's why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it.
Okay. And I kind of have a lot more questions. Is that okay with you?
Or... Go ahead.
Okay. So going back... to kind of the beginning of the interview, how did your family and friends react when they found out you were joining the war?
Say again?
How did your family and friends react when they found out you were joining the war?
When I was going in?
Yeah, how did they react when they found out you decided to go?
I think they were proud. Mm-hmm. I think they were proud.
So they supported your decision? Mm. They supported your decision?
Yeah. Sure. It was different then. Everybody was different. People wanted to be a part of it.
Right.
No matter what they did. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah. So some articles I've read refer to you as a medic.
A medic?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. When... we only had 500 men. Mm-hmm. And we had a medic for each company. And we had a staff sergeant who was ahead of all those guys, mm-hmm. medics.
Right.
And they knew that I was pre-med mm-hmm. when I was in college. Not that I did anything.
Right.
So when the head guy over there got wounded, the medic, head medic, they asked me to take it over. Mm-hmm. That was in January, February. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know anything. I'm just a pre-med.
Right.
I said, well, we got to have somebody, and make you a staff sergeant. And then I said, okay. I said, what do I do? He said, you see that the medics do their job. That's how. That's it.
So you didn't actually...
Oh, a little bit, but I'm, what can I do?
Right.
I wasn't trained as a medic.
Right.
Yeah, I was more in, let's just say, top management. No, I was in charge of the medics at in January. So when they asked me to take that, I did. Yeah.
Right.
It was the, hey, those medics have it tough.
Yeah.
Tough. They have to go where a lot of other guys wouldn't go.
Right.
To take care of the wounded. That's the guy got wounded because they knew where he was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. Do you recall your instructors?
College instructor?
Do you remember your instructors that you had in the war?
In the service?
Yeah.
Well, your instructors are your non-coms.
Right.
And I was a PFC, and then I worked my way up, and I became one. Mm-hmm. So you don't call them instructors, you call them your non-com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good guys.
So how did you adjust to military life? Was it hard at first, adjusting?
To civilian life?
To military life.
No, I don't think so. The thing that I found difficult to adjust to was some of the guys when I was in the 26th Division, the reason I got out mm-hmm. and volunteered for the Rangers, is that they didn't care.
Right.
I did. So.
Yeah.
That bothered me. People, there's some guys who don't care.
Right.
That's life. You find it in business. You find it in service.
Right. And what did you eat throughout your service? What kind of things did you eat throughout your service?
K rations. Mm-hmm. Hash. Had cheese. We had D bars, which are hard chocolate. Mm-hmm. We had K that was K rations, and then we had C rations, which are the corned beef hash. And then later they came out with hot dogs.
Really?
In the can.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and spaghetti. Mm-hmm. So it'd be pretty good.
Did it get over and over?
Yeah. Look, your mind and your body adjust to what you're going to get.
Right.
What you want.
Yeah.
So you adjust to that.
Right.
Okay.
What were your sleeping conditions like?
Dirt.
All the time?
Yeah. Unless you're in a rest camp, there may be some houses you could, where the Germans or the French left, mm-hmm. you could sleep on the floor,
right.
In a basement or something. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, you're sleeping in the rain and snow, cold, frozen.
Yeah.
Awful. Winter was terrible.
That must have been hard to get used to. That must have been hard to get used to.
You don't get used to cold.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Never. You get frostbite.
Right.
It's terrible. Your fingers are numb. Like you. Awful. But I used to put my fingers like this.
Yeah.
Open my jacket and stick them right on my armpit. I keep them warm.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can keep warm.
Yeah.
You can't build a fire because big smoke and the Germans sit and bomb you.
Right.
If you're around.